Welcome to the SearchHealthIT.com podcast, where SearchHealthIT.com editors interview leading experts on IT strategies for healthcare leaders.
Hi, I'm Don Fluckinger, live at the American Telemedicine Association's annual meeting in San Jose, California. Today, I'm sitting down with Dr. Hone S. Pak, CEO of Diversinet, a mobile technology platform company, and he's also a former president of the ATA. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
So, is it just me, or, you know, from your point of view, do you see that this is an amazing time as far as acceleration of technology for telemedicine? Like, technology had been marching at a certain pace over the last 10 years, but now, right now, we're at this point where it's just hyperdrive.
No, I think you're absolutely right. Obviously, I grew up in ATA for many, many years. And what I'm observing is what you're observing is this inflection point beginning to occur. But I think it's not so much that the technology is mature per se, but I think the external drivers are changing, meaning high tech, the Affordable Care Act, all the pressures are mounting, and it's clear to the healthcare community that doing brick and mortar type of healthcare and waiting for patients to come in and waiting for supply-driven care isn't working, and that there's a crisis or a burning platform. And I think it's all those things with additional stimulus money that is really now having healthcare organization leadership to begin to look at different ways of delivering care. So I think that we were slowly growing, right? Each year we did better than the year before, but now over the last couple of years, I'm really seeing a different slope than I've seen when I was in the ATA. Hopefully I was in the beginning curves of that, but I think we're seeing definitely a good trend.
Well, that's interesting. You're phrasing something that a little differently that I've heard a couple times elsewhere from speakers and attendees. And the statement I've heard is the technology's there and the barriers to telemedicine now become things like policy or reimbursement or high-tech compliance or whatever.
Well, I would actually slightly have a differing perspective on that. So I think the technology has been there while there's incremental improvements and especially or lots of improvements in sensors and so forth. I think what has changed isn't the policies and reimbursement. It is beginning to change, but I think that people are saying despite the reimbursement, we now have a crisis at our hand, that we need to leverage all our technologies for us to compete in this market space. So we still have major issues around reimbursement and policies. For example, credentialing and privileging is a huge issue in telemedicine. Reimbursement is still a huge issue. So why is this all growing? Well, I think it's those external drivers that are fundamentally saying that's going to change. We're going to change it because we can't afford not to, my personal opinion.
Right. And how does mHealth fit into all this? Is mHealth sort of like a subset of telemedicine, or is it a cousin, or are they parallel? And I know consumers are driving a lot of mHealth initiatives, and can they, by extension, drive telemedicine now? Are they demanding it?
So I don't think we're at a point where our consumers are demanding it. I think we still have a long ways to really educate our consumers that this is a viable option. And there's still regulatory and policy and reimbursement challenges that even if they did, there still would be a struggle. Again, we still need a major movement towards that. I think the next president, Stuart Ferguson, is going to take that on. I believe that if you look at mHealth or mobile health and how you define that within either a subset of telehealth or a superset or and then you say, well, HIMSS, Health IT, where does that intersect? Well, I'm not sure I know the answer right now. I know that mHIMSS has been created, obviously, through that organization. We obviously have created a track here at ATA. And I think each one comes in a little bit differently. I think that depending on the organization that's doing that type of work is based on their core competencies and how they grew up. So HIMSS is largely a health IT company worrying about EMRs, right? Those types of things. Telehealth worries about care processes, And it's just a slightly different way of doing access to care, right? And so for us, I think you'll see both dementia maturing and going in parallels, or but it will converge over time. I don't know if it truly, if it's a separate thing from telehealth, because these are just gray zones that, that I see between, you know, mobile health, health IT, and telehealth. I think those are converging, and I think you could say, you know, health IT is the superset, but it's really not, because telehealth has a lot of clinical processes that are outside right. health IT. So I don't know if that really answers right. your question.
Well, it's sort of like what you're saying is that the labels are evolving, and the care providers are figuring out novel ways to do care, no matter what they're called.
Exactly, right. So it's I'm less concerned about the labeling than how we effectively we use it. What's interesting to me is that these home healthcare devices, mobile devices on the consumer side, is now allowing us a glimpse of what is happening on the social domain side in ways that we've never had from the healthcare perspective, right? So we wait for the patients to come in, and we take a blood pressure and think that that's representative sampling of what happens when they're not in between visits, right?
Right.
So for us, we now are grappling with what do we do with this massive amounts of data that is being captured, or about behaviors, right? So we talk a lot about patient engagement. Well, do we really know enough to intervene the right set of things to get patients to do the right behaviors? We're in the infancy of that, not because of the technology, because we've just never had data to understand how we as individuals make decisions about health choices and our behaviors.
Right. And it sort of related to that. I was at another conference last week in the life sciences industry, and their point was, we're going to get a lot of genomic data, and there's only one way physicians will be able to use it, this overwhelming data that we're going to get, and it's clinical decision support. That's it.
Right.
It's like genomic data is irrelevant unless it's
right.
it's sort of like what you're saying.
Right.
So I guess another question is, the CIOs or non-clinical health IT people who are listening to this podcast, what advice would you have for them, you know, to sort of prepare their infrastructure for coming telemedicine initiatives? I mean, because it is coming, and it's, if we are to believe the experts here, most traditional healthcare facilities will have some telemedicine initiative or another happening in the next 5 years. What should they do to prepare their networks to be ready to handle this?
So I believe that there are organizations out there that have fairly sophisticated telehealth networks. So there are a lot of resources, number one. So they don't have to try to find it on their own. They can go to nearby, whether it's the Arizona telemedicine, you know, community versus Montana versus coming to this organization and learning, you know, how they've evolved to what they, you know, where they are. There are obviously issues understanding the security implications and HIPAA and many other components of that. Obviously, there are bandwidth, you know, understandings that you have to say, are you preparing for IP-based video? Does your infrastructure really, is it ready? And so I think it depends before you get to, instead of trying to solve the world hunger problem, I think I would go to the leadership and say, what problem are we trying to solve? What is our strategic objective? What are the top drivers? And then you step back and you go to the clinicians and say, okay, since these are the things, what clinical programs are you interested in establishing? Then you go back and say, okay, what tools, what technologies, what infrastructure is appropriate to help you get there? And then you can then go out and say, okay, who's done this type of work? Where are the capacities? How do you do that? So I think if you take a more stepwise approach and really understand where the organization is going instead of waiting for someone to come knock on your door and says, I want to do telederm, and say, well, you do that, and then you realize that, you know, someone else wants ophthalmology and something else, and then you begin to understand that you've created three silos that don't talk to each other.
Right.
Because one of the bigger challenges you're going to have as CIOs, having been one myself, is the data integration and the integration to the electronic health record. You gotta, telehealth is part of the larger capability, right? It's one component. If you treat it as a separate thing, you really won't get to the transformative nature of what telehealth can bring. And And so you have to design, and that's why I asked about, you know, what is the enterprise strategic objective when someone says, let's go do this. And then you have to build the infrastructure and say, okay, I know you want to go fast, but I now need to understand the integration requirements of the various systems so that you can really become efficient and have a sustainable program.
Right. And so also you are uniquely qualified to answer another burning question that I have. So DiversiNet helps provide support for applications across mobile platforms, you know, be they Android, right, you know, iOS, yeah, or BlackBerry, right, whatever. So who is anybody doing an EMR on Android? And all I hear about is how insecure Android is and how it scares CIOs to death. And so to put an EMR on the phone, they're doing iPhone or nothing. And so maybe you could talk about who's doing it on Android.
So I believe there are EMRs, and I just don't have the most current information on the numbers and all that. I would say that security can be overcome. So if it's a matter of security only, and that's the predominant issue, there are companies like ours that can actually secure the app separate from the operating system in ways that you don't have to worry about that. There are clearly mobile EMRs. I believe that Epics and Cerner's are doing their own versions of the EMR. There are other companies that are developing mobile-specific EMRs and then trying to back-end integrate across multiple platforms. But if you look at the statistics, I think it was like 60 or 70, I was surprised at the number of providers have iPads, right? So that's where, obviously, the target is. And then you have to decide, do you want to issue this, or are you going to do a bring-your-own-device, right, policy? And how are you going to secure that? So there's a whole lot of resources around BYOD, and you have to, from a policy perspective, decide, do you need to have your own device and manage it as a network enterprise resource, or do you want to actually use their device, consumer-grade devices that can go in and out, that can be used from personal and work? Because what we're finding as a physician, if you give me two different devices where I use one for home and then I use one for the work, I have a problem. Because my work, my life isn't like that, right? It's a kind of chaotic balance of the two, and the workflow has to be somewhat seamless. So I think people are recognizing that we have to go to the BYOD, because I need to know when the kid's soccer game is compared to when I'm seeing the patients, right? That kind of thing, or when I'm going to schedule things. So I believe that you have to make some decisions around kind of logically as to say, do we have a mobile health strategy, telehealth strategy? How am I going to, what is my strategy around devices? But again, these should be all driven based on what the enterprise requirements are and what the leadership wants to do, and then figure out ways to do that. There are beautifully written papers that are available on the web that specifically walks you through saying, okay, you know, how do you think through, you know, bringing in a mobile capability and extending your EHR? A lot of what I've observed is that the successful ones are very niche areas. No one tries to, or very few are trying to solve the entire problem. They take a slice, learn something from it, and say, okay, we have cardiac care is a huge cost driver. And mobilizing the EKGs to where they are so that they don't have to come into the hospitals is a big driver. There's enough ROI there. So they will do something like that. And then they build upon a couple other things. And then before you get too far, Mayo has a conversation like, wait a minute, I have Department of ENT, Department of Ortho, Department of whoever, that's all developing their own apps now, and none of them are connected, right? Or they're all doing their services in telehealth. You have to at some point understand and design how this might conceptually look like, so when you begin these niche projects, because it's going to start that way as pilots and demonstrations, you at least have thought through some of the issues around connectivity, integration of the data, security, and really begin to at least shape your thinking as these things come.
So they're a little bit more modular to develop.
Exactly. Right, because you don't want to create a data integration for every single app you create, for example, right? That's just not a fun thing, because do you really want to change it 10,000 times? Probably not.
But that's how it's been done up until, like, right now, this big inflection point, right, as you put
right,
it.
Right. So, in fact, I was having a conversation with Mayo, and they said the same thing. It's like, this reminds me of EHR days 10, 15 years ago, when people were on databases, Excel, and what have you. They
right.
were all 1,000 flowers blooming, all not talking to each other, and now we're trying to fix the problem. And so we're in a very unique position. As the inflection point is now starting for telehealth and mobile health, can we be smarter this time and begin to at least conceptually bring a framework around how we can do this work and innovate still on the top layers, but really try to standardize in the back end so that we can really harness and really optimize, you know, the value that we bring.
All right. Well, this has been a very informative conversation. Thanks a lot for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this SearchHealthIT.com podcast. For more information and resources about healthcare technology and electronic health records, please visit SearchHealthIT.com. Thank you.